Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, right here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I am John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour to talk some Giants football. And you are the stars of the show. You can reach us at 201-939-4513 or on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And your New York football Giants are heading to the most difficult place to play a football game, Seattle, Washington, trying to break a three-game losing streak. And Jeff, considering the way the Giants have played this year, this is not easy, and I want to phrase it this way to you.
Okay.
If the Giants lose this game, they go to 3-6. Are both of us in agreement that in order to make the playoffs in the NFC this year, you're going to have to win 10 games?
No question.
So that means if they lose this week, the Giants will have to run the table the rest of the way to make a run, which maybe not a must win, but it's as close as you can get.
And I think we would both agree. Well, maybe not. But I think last week was as close as to a must win, just to get into position that we're not talking about what we are today.
And you can make the argument this game even more important,
yeah,
because if the Cardinals win the NFC West, guess what team you could be fighting for a wild card spot with and a tiebreaker head-to-head?
Exactly.
Seattle Seahawks.
It was a tiebreaker. That's because an NFC opponent this week, and last week it was an AFC, but I think, you know, the lead into the show, John, has hit the nail on the head. Not a great place to go in and play. For the historians of the Giants fans, you all know that I came from Seattle.
That's right.
Opened up that building, if you will. And let me tell you, the years I played there as a Seahawk and when I played there as a Giants, it's ridiculously loud. I think it's gotten louder over the years. But very difficult to go in there when you are the team that you are now that the Giants somehow have become. And secondly, they are the world champions. You know, maybe they're not playing as good as they've been playing last year, but they still are the world champions. They still are Seattle Seahawks, and it still is a difficult place to play because of that crowd, John. And to be honest with you, I don't think that the offensive line has seen anything as loud as this year going into a stadium. I mean, Washington can be a little bit loud. Dallas can be a little bit loud, but this is going to be incredibly insane.
The Jeff Fiegels reunion tour continues.
Yes,
you had the Cardinals, you had the Eagles.
Yeah,
now
we're all
the
over the place. You know, well, when you play as long as I did, and you can, I played for 5 teams, so once in a while we'd be able to talk about the teams that I have played for. But you get together and play for a lot of organizations, and I will tell you that Seattle was a great organization, but certainly not as good as this one. And I was more happy to play for these guys than I was there because I got to wear that Super Bowl ring now.
All right, Jeff, let's talk about some of the issues that have come up over the course of this week. And I want to go back to what Antrell Roll said in his post-game press conference when the Giants took after the Giants lost to Indianapolis Colts. He talked about guys having passion. He talked about guys having heart. He talked about guys having fire. And that's something that he has said in the past that he thinks is lacking. Now, I've heard other players say, well, Antrell Roll is the most emotional guy we know. So compared to him, everyone maybe is going to lack a little bit of emotion, a little bit of fire. Jason Pierre-Paul added the other day when he spoke to the media that, maybe more guys need to be more passionate. What's your opinion here? I mean, well, you're a player. You know what it's like in there. You know what it's like to get ready for a game. A lot of times people say you don't want to get too far up or too far down. Do you think there's an emotional energy problem with this team right now? Is that part of the issue, why they're not playing well?
I do. I mean, I think we're seeing it on the field. I think we're, you know, what you haven't seen yet, and we hope we never do, is when you come on off the field and onto the sidelines and the guys start getting on each other. You know, that's when it gets to that point,
they
you're in trouble.
Sniping, right?
Yeah, that's when you're in trouble. So it has not gotten to that. But to answer your question, John, you know, the National Football League, it has to have players that take it upon themselves to do what I call is think outside the box and prepare outside the box. And what that means is that when you're in this building, you're doing what you got to do with your teammates and you're watching film. But collectively, whether it's your individual, you do it, or collectively as a group, you have to find ways to do things, as we always say, Tom Coughlin says, above the X's and the O's. The above X's and O's when you're preparing is doing things that nobody knows about. I don't need a pat on the back because I watch 10 hours of extra film. I don't need a pat on the back because, you know what, do you know, John, I go get a massage on Fridays every 1 o'clock. Not that I say I do, but I don't need that kind of a pat on the back. These are things that you have to do as a professional.
You should want to do it because you want to win and you want to play your best.
No
question.
Not
because someone gives you the, hey, good job,
yeah,
man.
Atta boy.
We're going to give you a bonus
absolutely.
In the offseason.
You,
right.
You've got to want it as a professional.
Right.
You've got to want it because there are people counting on you, and when you sign your name on a contract and they're paying you, that's what you do. But more importantly, it's because you want to go out there and do the best you can and prepare yourself the best you can, and you can't do that unless you're doing some of these other things that I just talked about. And you know, maybe to me, it's maybe not so much the guys are lacking the spirit on the field and this and that. To me, the biggest component is the leaders of this football team are not showing the other guys how to be a pro's pro, if you will.
And here's something that bothered me a little bit, just from the outside looking in. You know, it's one thing for Roll to say this. He's been a pretty consistent guy over the years. For Jason Pierre-Paul to come out and try to pile on and point fingers at other people when he's supposed to be the top pass rusher on this team, and what does he have, 3.5 sacks so far this year to lead the team? It's not like he's been a dominant defensive end or harassing quarterbacks every week. You know, it's one thing for Roll to do it to me, but he's the undoubted leader of this team. I heard Steve Weatherford on The Fan last night say he's the best leader he's ever been around besides Drew Brees,
sure.
And he has that type of respect. You know, JPP's still on his first contract. He's a young player. He's been just as inconsistent as everyone else on this football team. For him to start pointing fingers, I got to imagine for some of the veterans out there, like a Mathias Kiwanuka, they look at that and they kind of like, ugh, I'm not sure if I want to take this from that guy.
Well, you know the old term, look at yourself in the mirror. Okay, look at yourself in the mirror. And can
do you think what I said is fair?
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, listen, I think that JPP can and he has been a good player, but the proof's in the pudding. Okay, you cannot sit there and rest on your laurels just because the media or everybody else has built you up to be this superstar.
You got to play that
superstars way. Superstars are made by their individual accomplishments and what they do on the field. And you can sit here and we can talk all we want about, well, JPP stops the run. You have to stop the run as a defensive end, okay? That's just part of the position. But the other intangible or actually part of the equation is the sacks. This team needs more pressure on the quarterback out of one of their best players, and that's JPP. So, you know, maybe he got caught off guard with that, with somebody asking him the question. As you all know, sometimes you do.
I'm sure he did.
But
I'm sure he did.
I'm certain if you go to Entre Roe, as he always wears his emotions on his sleeve, is that he says it, and when he says something like that, you got to believe that there is some truth to that. And how deep it goes, I don't know, unless you're in the locker room and you're kind of in team meetings and position meetings. But, you know, really, it's sad and it's tough to – when you're in the locker room and you're losing sucks. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on a 2-14 team in Arizona. You think that that 3-5 is bad. You should try 2-14 one time.
Especially with an organization that's used to having 2-14, 3-13
absolutely.
Seasons.
This organization is not used to being this, but you know, you have got to get back to playing consistent football, and we're going to talk a lot about the game coming up and how this team is going to try to go out and beat the Seahawks.
No question about it. And look, I'm not saying that Jason Pierre-Paul, and I'm sure what he did was simply say, look, my leader says this. I'm going to back up my leader. I'm going to agree with him. But I could see where some people might raise their eyebrows. I saw the article in the paper this morning, thought I was bringing up. By the way, our number is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I want to get to some of our audio cuts today as we get rolling to preview this game. And Jeff, you talked a lot about the Giants being inconsistent. Well, we already mentioned Entre Roe talking about the Giants' lack of emotion. Well, Entre Roe also on Monday spoke about how this team has to do a better job of playing consistent football week in, week out. Sometimes the Giants, they're just like a box of chocolates.
There's times where I feel like we can go out there and we can play as good as any team in this league. And then there's times where we can go out there and we can play as bad as any team in this league. So you don't know. And I think that's something where we have to come together as a team, coaches, players, you know, everyone included, and figure out who are we as a team. But I feel like we're so inconsistent. We're so up and down. You don't know what you're going to get coming Sunday. You know, you're
going to
get the good Giants, the bad Giants, the flat Giants, the Giants that play with energy.
You know what you're going to get, right?
And he's 100% right. Well, you know, but here's the problem. The last 3 weeks, we actually do know what Giants team is going to show up. So you say inconsistence, that's fine.
Yeah,
but they were bad for two
inconsistent.
Games, good for three, and then bad for three. So
You know, when
what's
you hear,
the deal here, Jeff?
When you hear him speak, you kind of have to kind of go in and try to pull out of the conversation and what he's saying. I think the question here is that, yeah, we have to identify what kind of a team we want to be. To me, is that we have to identify where the problems are and address those.
And fix them.
And fix them. Yeah. Okay? And from if you break it down in the line, the linebackers, the secondary, Antro Roll is with the secondary. They need to figure out what's broke in the secondary and fix that, because if they can do that, it'll help the other two levels. Okay? And vice versa, the defensive line, they got to figure out what they're not doing and fix it, which will then in turn help the secondary. But they have to do something quickly, because like we said at the beginning of the show, this is about ready to go really downhill. And obviously we talk about making the playoffs and then winning world championships. Their playoff hopes could come to an end if they lose this game.
Well, Jeff, and you spoke about injuries in the secondary, something Antro is dealing with, as is defensive coordinator Perry Fuel. When he addressed the media yesterday, he spoke about how all these new players in this team are going to work together in the secondary on Sunday.
What we're going to have to do is develop some know-how of concepts of what we're trying to do and try to be in the positions that we should be in. And our veterans have to help the guys that are just coming in with the call and repeat the call to them so that we can all be on the same page. They got to talk to each other a lot more instead of just looking at the body language that the person they would have been playing with in the past gave them.
And we should have some kind of a final word today, by the way, on whether or not Zach Bowman's going to play. He had to go to the doctor yesterday with some abdominal pain.
Walking into the building, I saw him walk on the field, whether that means he's going to practice
or not. It's a good sign,
I think that
certainly.
Was a good sign.
Well, usually,
I saw him.
What I think automatically with someone has abdominal pain is appendicitis or something like that, which would obviously knock somebody out. So if you saw him out there on the field, that's certainly a good thing. We'll have to try to have some word on whether or not he was out there practicing today or not. The media's actually out there at practice as we speak. So when we get some type of word on that, we will pass it on. But here's the thing. You're playing against a place that's really loud. Granted, not as loud when the defense is on the field.
I know where you're going on.
Nevertheless, you want a bunch of guys that have no idea what the other one's going to do when they can't talk to each other.
I was just going to say, Barry Fuel said, well, we got to talk to each other. You're not going to be able to hear yourself talk,
right
alone the next guy.
It's a problem.
So what is my answer to that? How many hour flight is it out to Seattle?
You better
get that seating chart. It's got to be all the new guys around you. And put the headphones on and we can talk like these. They should have these on. We can all talk to each other because that's what it's going to take.
Just make sure you don't give them to Paul Dottino.
No, Paul does not get one of those. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
There's no one will get any sleep.
Paul will definitely try to coach every one of those guys up. But, you know, which leads me to really what kind of a defense is the Giants or are they going to try to do against this Seattle offense? I mean, to me, John, asking these young guys to go and play, I mean, we know that the Seattle Seahawks aren't, you know, the world's best, but do they line up and play man against these guys? Do they play zone? I mean, if they play zone, Russell Wilson
Well, see, Jeff, here's to me, and this is, I think, the crux of the situation. I can only imagine what Perry Fuel's doing in his office trying to figure out how to do
well,
with this
he
defense.
Doesn't have any hair like me,
because,
so
or me.
So
when you're playing against a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson, and that's number one, a lot of times it's difficult to play man-to-man because all your linebackers and your defensive backs turn around to guard their man, and then all of a sudden no one's watching the quarterback.
Yep.
So that's problem number one. But you can rectify that situation a little bit by spying the quarterback and having one man just responsible for Russell Wilson. So that to me is option one. And man-to-man defense for young corners is probably a little bit easier. When you have a bunch of new guys coming in here trying to learn how to play zone with each other, which gives them the opportunity to watch the quarterback, prevent it from getting out of the pocket, that's great. But do these guys know what the other one's going to do, and do they have a feel for each other to play that zone?
Right.
So to me, I think what you're going to have to do is play man. The Seattle Seahawks, fortunately for the Giants, don't have a bunch of game-breaking wide receivers.
Yeah.
And then you say one man, whether it's a Jaquan Williams or a Jameel McClain or maybe a safety like a Dempster Roll, Stevie Brown, you guys watch Russell Wilson. To me, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure that when he leaves, you have somebody that leaves with him.
Right.
And then really try to trust in these young guys and playing some defense and then really getting some help out of the veteran safeties. And, that's kind of, there it is, John. We just made up the game plan right there. It's easy for us. Man coverage.
Yeah, I don't think Perry's going to listen to me.
Spy. We'll bring the spy guy in there. You know, so Jaquan Williams, I think, certainly can do that.
So that's what you want to do. You want to spy and play man?
I agree. I agree with you because I think it is more difficult to play zone because of the communication when it goes, because these guys don't have any. Listen, these guys, we got a guy from practice squad who just got brought up. He was, you know, how many weeks ago was he with the Lions, right? We're talking about Fenner. We're talking about the new guy that we just got from Baltimore. I forgot. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Shaq?
Shockey, actually.
Shockey. Shockey. Oh, that's easy.
Yes, it actually is. Yeah. It's a lot easier than it looks.
Right. So Shockey.
Brown.
Shockey Brown, another Brown.
We're going to bring as many Browns as possible. That's the theme.
We're the Charlie Brown team,
yeah, exactly.
You know? And really, these guys, the communication is key, and it's very difficult. You know, talk about communication, John, but not only communicating, it's also knowing what you're doing.
It's harder to learn a scheme. It's a lot easier to go out and say, hey, guys, go cover that one guy and follow him around. That's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be easier for you and I if we were playing out in the park. Say, John, you get him. I'll take him. You know, so. But it's going to be a daunting task this week for the Giants defense, and they got to play well. And really, to me, I don't know if you'll agree with me. I think you will. I think this Giants team, a couple games this season, I saw the physical part of the game in the Giants' favor. But for the most part, this season, to me, every team that comes in to play the Giants, they are more physical, and they win the physical battle, not the Giants.
And Seattle is a very physical football
team.
Very physical. Speaking of which, all the secondary stuff's not going to matter at all if the Giants don't stop the run. And how do you stop Marshawn Lynch, according to veteran Mathias Kiwanuka? You must gang tackle.
For years, you've seen him, you know, hitting one, two guys and still breaking out of the pile. So we definitely understand it's going to take two and three guys to get in there and secure the tackle and make sure that everybody's still driving their feet, because he is a talented runner.
Now, Jeff, Lynch is having a down year in terms of the numbers. His yards per carry are just over four. His total yard numbers are not impressive. All these things you put into a little basket and you say, well, you know, maybe you don't have to watch out for Marshawn Lynch, but he's still breaking tackles, he's still making plays, and job number one for the Giants is still going to be stopping the run.
Yeah, and I think that the Seahawks are in a little bit of transition trying to get some of their starters back on the offensive line, and that could bode well for the defensive line for the Giants. But, you know, when you hear Kiwi talk about Marshawn Lynch, he's a guy you just can't forget about just because he's having a down year. And I think typically this defense for the Giants doesn't tackle well, period. They get too high. They don't take good angles. And so this is something they have to work on this week, is bringing this guy down and hitting him low, because he will just run you over. They don't call him beast mode for nothing. And I think that's what you got to do. You got to gang tackle him, and he will put the ball on the ground too. You know, another thing that we probably need 2 hours today to talk about all this stuff that's going on with the Giants, but – you know, turnovers. Get some turnovers.
Yeah.
And turnovers.
And the Seahawks, by the way, protect the ball better than most teams in the league. I can find the number here. I have it somewhere. But they're ranked right at the top of the league in terms of giveaways this year. They don't turn the ball over. Russell Wilson does a great job of protecting the football. I'll try to find that number.
Well, you know, most good teams don't turn the ball over a lot, because, you know, that's that number one statistic in the league. And every once in a while, you'll have a team that they're six giveaways this season.
Tied for fewest in the league.
That's amazing. And I don't know how many of those are interceptions, probably maybe half.
I think Wilson has two picks or maybe four picks this year, something like that.
They're stingy giving it away.
Right.
But I think it's one of the ingredients for the Giants to win this game is to get some turnovers on defense, well, something they have not been able to do. Although last week we had three opportunities to get the interceptions. Catching the ball. So, I mean, there was something in the water last week, because not only did the offensive receivers for the Giants not be able to catch the ball last week, the defensive backs couldn't either. Although, John, you know, one of the words in football is that the reason defensive backs are defensive backs is because they
don't have the hands to play wide receiver.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's really, you ask them, hey, did you play receiver? Yeah, I played in high school. That's as far as it went. But, you know, so they get some turnovers this week and really will help them win.
All right, I got three more clips of sound I want to get to, but it's already 12:20, so I want to get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I'll sprinkle those in as they become appropriate based on what you guys want to talk about on the busy phone lines. But, of course, listeners are winning every cash, or winning every cash, or winning cash
well,
every
they're
week.
Winning the cash, every cash.
Every cash. Every cash you know. That's what they're taking home at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Words like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger contests, bigger winnings, bigger events, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. A couple things from practice. Mr. Dottino, Mrs. Patricia Traina, and Art Stapleton reporting that everyone appears to be geared up today at practice, which means Weatherford is a go with that back injury. He's a tough guy, man. That's a serious back injury he's got. Zach Bowman back at practice. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, Weston Richburg, Kiwanuka, Preston Parker, and Cullen Jenkins all in full gear. Adam Snyder out there as well. So the only guy not out there would be Rashad Jennings. He will not be back this week. And by the way, Zach Bowman back practicing. This is from Andrew Brill. Diagnosed with viral gastroenteritis? You're great at complicated words. You want to get
right. Yeah, I'm perfect.
Well, he has something on the viral gastro disease. So they are condition, whatever it is. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
There you go. That's the deal. Looks like Bowman's going to be good to go on Sunday, which thank goodness for the
Chance.
And
two, in Richburg, I mean, you look at what happened the other night. They bring the card out, they bring everything, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, here goes another guy out of there, but hopefully he can play. And Snyder, you know, filled in last week, and he might be able to help this offensive line because they need a lot of help.
They need some push in their run game, no question about it. I talked to Weston in the locker room yesterday for a minute. He basically said, John, man, I am really, really lucky. When he said that thing hurt, I thought it was a minimum a break.
Wow.
There was talk that it could have been dislocated, but it turned out just being a sprain, and he's going to look like he's going to play on Sunday. So very, very lucky.
And at least it wasn't a high ankle sprain.
Right.
Those are the ones that really drag on for a while.
201-939-4513. Let's get to the phone. We'll get to some more sound as the show moves along. But let's start with Charlie in Portland, Maine, who has been waiting patiently. Chuckles, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Charlie. How are you? By the way, that care package you promised never arrived.
I know. Well, I know. I should send it to you. I'm going to send it to you, man.
Okay, no
worries. If you play basketball, you could use it.
I'd sit to you right. I could.
Hey, John, I just wanted to say one thing. I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were channeling me a little bit there, a little passion.
I got a little loud. One of the callers continued to interrupt me, so I ended up yelling at him. I hung up on him. It was a whole scene. But I apologize to Steve online. Now, Charlie, let's get to the call.
It happens.
The matter at hand, huh?
All right. And, Jeff, I just want to say thank you for your service to Giant Nation. You are
you're
a great punter, and we really appreciate everything you've done.
No problem.
And I like listening to you, too. You got a lot of good information. So.
Thank you.
The only thing I hate to rehash this game, but I have one thing. And this bothered me a bit. When Coughlin was trying to get the flag out of his pants there.
Sock.
And try to, you know, get a timeout or challenge the play. You know, some reporter asked him, well, why didn't you just call a timeout? And he said, well, it never occurred to me. Then the reporter said, well, why didn't one of the players, like the captain on your team or one of the players, realize that we weren't set up, call a timeout? He said, no, the players did the right thing. Timeouts are only taken on the sideline. I mean, Jeff, I mean, is that true? I mean, doesn't the captain of the team or someone, can't they call a timeout if they see something is totally wrong?
I think it's all, sometimes it depends on the circumstance, and obviously in this circumstance it was probably somebody needed to do something because they ended up at that point in the game. I think it was only 3-0, and then they get a cheap score which makes it 10-0, and so something had to happen. But I know that I was always told when I was on the field, and this is very minimal now, so but take it for what it's worth, is that I really was never allowed to call a timeout. If we had a guy missing, which is usually what happens, we take a 5-yard delay game and kick it on field goals. The only time I could call a timeout was the fact that if we were going to be pushed into a longer field goal situation, maybe like from a 48-yarder now to a 53-yarder,
where it would significantly impact
exactly.
The chance of the kick.
But you know, if we're like going from 38 to 42, we'd let delay a game because those timeouts are crucial when it comes down to a close game. But I don't know if people know this, but there's a process that goes down that sideline with the replay and the sock and the red flag and this and that. You know, the Giants have somebody up in their booth that is reviewing this stuff and then relaying a message down to Tom. And then in between all of this, you kind of wonder where the communication broke down and why that thing wasn't thrown earlier.
Well, I think the reason it wasn't thrown, though, is because – the play would have been upheld.
It should, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was a catch. It wasn't a fumble. It wasn't incomplete.
It was called
incomplete. So it was the right move. To me, Charlie, and this whole play with this thing is very simple. I think there are two things to blame here. One, I don't think they should have challenged. I think what you said is right. Once the sideline saw the defense was a mess, rather than throwing the challenge flag,
just call the timeout.
Yeah. Because you're going to lose the challenge anyway. It'll cost you a timeout. What's the difference? You can actually keep your challenge for later in the game.
You're going to lose
then.
Your challenge.
Exactly.
Too.
So do that. But I think more of the blame to me, Charlie, goes on the guys on the field. Don't look at the sideline. Pay attention to what you're doing. You're playing a game here. Tom Coughlin said it. Antoine Roll said it. They practice that scenario all week.
They go
whenever
into,
the Colts have a big play, they try to quick snap the next one. The players knew it was coming, and they weren't ready for
it. And
it.
You know what, John? It's not just the Colts. Every team quick plays when they have a call that's going to be that. Defense goes into that mode. They're supposed to go
defense
to whatever coverage.
Ready.
And that's not only on the sideline for not calling a timeout, but it's more importantly on the players for not being prepared in that situation. Even though they went over it and over it, why weren't you there? Why weren't you doing what you're supposed to do?
No question. Charlie, what else you got?
Hey, I was just going to say I agree with that, but also Perry Fuel should have been screaming in Coughlin's ear, we're not set, call a timeout, or he should have called a timeout. Even when the players screw up, that's why the coaches coach. They should have been there to call a timeout. And they also should give the captain of the team the responsibility, if he sees something that is a miss in lining up, he should have the right to call a timeout. I just think they play with fear sometimes. Like, you can't do this. You know, you fumble the ball, you're on the bench for the rest of your life, except for drop passes. I guess you can drop as many passes as you want, and you'll still play with the Giants. But other than that, I just think they play with a lot of fear, and I think that's part of the reason we're losing.
Charlie, thanks for the call, bud.
That's all I got, man.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
In fairness, considering the number of guys that drop passes last week, they would have ran out of wide receivers if they would have benched them all.
I'll tell you what.
Randall had one. Even Beckham had one. Parker had a couple. So if you benched everyone that dropped passes, you'd be running out Adam Snyder and wide receiver before.
Yeah. Danelle's had a drop pass.
And the fumbles.
And you know who else had a drop pass? Eli dropped his own pass. Remember?
By the way, in fairness, Larry Donnell has fumbled three times this year, and he is still playing. So the fumbles don't automatically put you on the bench. Just something to note as we move forward. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with Charlie to me. If a defensive player sees something like that unfolding and the guys aren't set and they call a timeout,
it's okay.
I don't think Tom Coughlin's going to get mad at
him. No, he's not.
I think he's going to say, good job.
He's going to get more mad if he calls a timeout in a stupid situation.
Right.
You know, that was warranted.
I think some guys you have to trust to make those decisions. A guy like Roll, a guy like Beeson, a guy like Jameel McClain.
Sure.
You can trust those guys to make
absolutely
those types of calls.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Stick on the phones. Let's go to Drew in Virginia next. Drew, what do you got?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Drew. What do you got?
Good. Hey, first and foremost, man, I missed the first part of the show, so I caught the tail end of it.
Yeah.
But I guess Antrell and Jason Pierre made some statements. Could you kind of a quick rehash of that, please?
Very, very quickly. Basically, Antrell Roll said beginning of the week the team isn't passionate enough. JPP basically said the same thing. They want to see more energy and more passion from the guys in the sideline during the game. And that was basically what we talked about the first 5, 6, 7 minutes of the show.
Oh, I thought you said he called somebody out.
No, not
but,
at all.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, Matt, well, first and foremost, I do agree. I agree with both of them, to be quite honest. The team isn't passionate enough, and you kind of see it. And, you know, when I was listening to the game Sunday, man, I mean, that's all you kept hearing Carl Banks talk about, man, was the passion and the toughness of the team. And they just seem to lack that, man.
Well,
you know,
Drew, here's the problem. It's tough to be passionate when you're getting your butt whipped. And when you're getting your butt whipped, it's hard to stay energetic. It's hard to stay happy. I mean, if you're going out there and somebody's handing you know what to you on a silver platter every time you go out there, and let's be honest, that's happened 2 out of the last 3 games. It's hard to keep the good energy going. You know what I mean?
It's hard to be passionate when you're not that good either.
You know, I have to kind of somewhat disagree. While I hear what you're saying, I kind of have to – because here's the point. Okay, that's fine if you're in the third or fourth quarter, or third quarter, the middle of the third quarter, and you're down, you know, 30, 40 points, you know. But at the beginning of the game,
well, that's fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
The passion has to be there.
That's
come
fair.
Come on, man.
That's fair. No, okay. Drew, that's fair. That's fair. I can't argue that.
Right. Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to say is I listened to Paul's show yesterday,
yeah.
And I typically don't, but Paul brought up a darn good point, and he actually brought up a negative. He said, you know, one of the negatives about Tom Coughlin's philosophy about rookies playing is that the starters can get complacent, that and that, you know, because they know there's nobody behind them pushing them to get better, they tend to get complacent. And he was talking about, for example, putting Washington on the field. And I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm like this. Look, man, this, I, you know, mathematically, okay, I guess you could say we're still alive. But for all intent purposes, the season is lost. We ain't making the playoffs.
Not yet.
So
not yet.
Why not play these guys anyway and see what you got? Okay, not only that, like Paul was saying yesterday, if these guys know these backups and these rookies is going to come in and they have a chance to lose their job, they're going to have to step it up, because if they don't step it up, their job is on the line. And I think and I have to agree with Paul Dottino 1,000%. I think that's what's happening, man. And the other thing, if you think about it, that was that to me, that was a bit of frustration last year when Mara mentioned that you know, why did it take so long for some of these guys to play?
All right, Drew.
Okay? And I'm not saying that. Let me just finish this real quick.
Yeah, real quick,
I'm not
Drew.
Saying
real,
whether
finish
they're
up.
Good or not. But I'm just saying, you got to let these guys play, because it's going to challenge your starters. And there's no
yep.
passion on this team.
I got you. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks,
appreciate
Drew.
It, bud. Here's the problem. And in the past, maybe you can make that argument. The Giants are starting three rookies. Who's their starting running back? Your fourth-round pick. Who's your starting wide receiver? Your first-round pick. Who's your starting left guard? Your second-round pick. Who's in the rotation on the defensive line now? Your third-round pick. Who is the big role on special teams? Nat Burhey, your safety. Who's
They're
starting
playing.
At linebacker? Your fifth-round pick.
They're
Almost
playing.
Every draft pick starting.
Yeah.
Starting. Yeah. What else do you want? How many of these guys do you want to play?
And these guys are starting. One, like, well, we know Odell Beckham should be starting. But the other guys, they get their opportunities, you know, because of injuries. Then they play. But I don't agree with that. One rule of thumb in the National Football League from a player's perspective, we kind of always knew this. You got a bad game. You know, you got a bad game. Okay? That's fine. Everybody has a bad game.
Yeah.
John, you had a bad game, okay? Then you go to the second game.
Right.
You have another bad game. You get three. You get three, and then you're gone. That's how it usually works. It seems to me that that doesn't how it works with the Giants a lot of times. They just kind of, you know, hang on.
They hang on the potential word instead of the production word.
Yeah, because I know when I was playing, and I'm sorry to use a reference of me playing all the time, but it's only relative in this situation.
And in fairness,
I was always, if I had one bad game,
right.
I just kind of chalked it up as we all have them. If I had that second bad game, I'm starting to lose sleep at night, because I know – listen, I am expendable.
The people in the pro personnel department are all of a sudden looking at tapes of guys
now
in the street.
Now I'm like getting wind that they're bringing a punter in on Tuesday and they're doing this. And, you know, that plays on your mind. And from a player's perspective, you got to understand that, you know, you could lose your job at any point in time. That was one of the things, John, I was always afraid when I was playing football, was that I was going to lose my job. I was going to get cut. I was never going to get paid again. I was never going to get picked up.
What does the NFL stand for? Not for long, right?
Not for long. But I think that sometimes guys get comfortable, they get complacent, and, you know, that certainly can you're waking up in the morning going, listen, they're not going to cut me. They don't cut anybody. You know, I mean, I'm okay. I'm a draft pick, this and that. I guess when you're building a football team, you know, being in the personnel department is not a perfect science. You can't always be right on guys. And sometimes you're going to miss on them. But the problem, John, with the Giants is that because of the injury situation, at this point in the season, whoever's not playing football right now, they're not good.
And by the way, speaking – and that's okay. And speaking of this, you know, people talk about Tom Coughlin in the past. Oh, he doesn't want to play rookies. Well, you know what? You know those rookies that everybody wanted to play? They haven't done anything since they were rookies. So maybe the guys simply weren't – no, maybe the guys weren't good enough. Yeah. I have people crying for Jarrell Jernigan to play, Ramsey's Barton to play, Adewale Ojomo to play. All these guys that were here, you know, that never amounted to anything.
Yeah.
The Giants let them go, and guess what? Nobody else thought they were good enough to pick up either.
And
so maybe these guys were never good enough to play. Now that he has some rookies that he thinks can contribute, then all of a sudden he's going to give them some time.
And the thing about it is all those guys played well in the preseason. Right, I mean that was the thing. They all played good in the preseason, which kept everybody like, "Oh my God, there's the potential."
Right.
They can play, but then when they get to the big time, when it starts counting, they're up against good competition. They don't do as well.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Nick in New Jersey. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, John, Jeff, good to talk to you guys.
Good to hear from you, Nick. What's up?
All right, a couple of things real quick. First of all, wanted to know, with Jennings being out again, which is really going to hurt us this week, what do you guys think about starting either Hillis or giving Cox a shot? Because, I mean, with the way Andre's playing, can it be much worse?
I'll answer that real quickly. I don't care who's in the backfield. If you don't have the offensive line blocking, it really doesn't matter. I mean, this offensive line had a couple games where they were solid, and we all started to talk about, like, hey, maybe we got something going here. And then
three games.
Boom, right? So if you kind of look back and say, wonder what Jennings would have done behind these last 3 weeks.
Hey, look, I think Jennings would have been a little bit better.
Absolutely.
But do I think he's running for 100 yards in these games? No, he's not.
No, there is no way. But I will tell you this. If anything, you want to get some sort of a spark and give somebody that – give it to Hillis. He's got the experience. He's been running the ball fairly well. But as collectively as a group, I don't think that any of those guys are going to run the ball for over 125 yards against this defense coming up this weekend. There's no way.
It's going to be tough sledding. Yeah.
Tough water sledding, because it's probably going to be raining there, right?
What else you got for us, Nick?
The other thing I'm going to say is, John, I've been waiting not to say it because I didn't want to say it, but now I'm going to have to agree with a lot of callers. I think it's time we bring in Corey Washington and let's see what he can do, because I got no faith in Parker and Randall. We know what he's got, so let's see what this kid can do.
All right, look, Nick, honestly, at this point, I agree with you to an extent. Nick, thanks a lot for the call.
To an extent.
I think you can get a package for him now, because, look, Preston Parker's not somebody that's been around this league for a long time and had a ton of success. And the way he's played the last couple of weeks, even going back to before all the drops last week, he wasn't exactly the most productive guy in the world. So if you want to cut back some of his snaps and give him to Corey Washington and put Beckham into the slot on those plays, okay, I have no issue with it.
And
go
for
it.
You know what package I like? I like the red zone package if the Giants can get down there. Put him in the red zone.
I don't mind giving Corey Washington 20-25 snaps in the game on Sunday. Go for it. Why not?
You're right. I mean, listen, what do you have to lose? Okay? I mean, we saw how he played at the end of the game. We saw how he played in preseason, which really those two situations I just gave you, they didn't really count.
I remember, too, he caught a lot of touchdowns in these preseason games. He wasn't exactly racking up 8 catches for 150 yards.
Absolutely.
In each game.
Okay, but what do you have to lose? I mean, you look at somebody that like Victor Cruz, okay? I'm not comparing the two. I'm just comparing the situation. You got a guy that's a free agent that comes in, and next thing you know, he's Victor Cruz.
Right.
You know, who knows if this guy – maybe he can be the next Plaxico Burress. He's got the height. He's got the hands.
If he is a little short on the mental side of things, if you only play him in certain packages,
yeah,
guess what? It takes the amount of stuff that's on his plate off, and it makes it a little bit easier on him.
One thing that you can see that's happening with Odell Beckham is that they kind of eased him into the offense, thinking like,
No more easing anymore.
We don't want to put the whole playbook in front of you, but it seems to me like this kid just took it on. And Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin are sitting there going, wow. Okay, well, let's turn a couple more pages for you, big guy. Okay, then you know what? Why not? Here you go, because he is pretty electrified. And they got to get him going this weekend and really give time for Eli to hook up with him. I think you got good things going. And in the meantime, hey, get Corey Washington in there. Give him the ball. Throw it to him. Who cares? Get something going.
At least he'll
catch the ball, I'm sure.
It'd also be nice for Ruben Randall to get going, too. And he struggled the last couple weeks. Had a big drop on a play in the red zone last week that could have kept the drive alive, which ended up really killing the Giants later on in that game. And against a very good secondary in the Seahawks, offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo knows this group of wide receivers is going to have to get physical if they want to get open.
It starts with fundamentals and goes into being physical. And we're going to see the same thing this week. We're going to see, you know, physical corners. We're going to have to do a good job at the line of scrimmage, getting those guys off their grass. We're going to have to be physical with them and create some separation at the top of the route.
Now, Jeff, this Seahawks defense isn't what it's been in the past, okay?
Yeah.
But the last couple weeks, they've gotten a lot better. There's a decent chance Cam Chancellor is going to play on Sunday, though he did not practice yesterday, but I think he's probably going to play. There's a chance Byron Maxwell could be back this week. There are the corner that's been hurt, and we know about Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. These guys are still pretty formidable. They're the sixth-ranked pass defense in the league.
That ain't too shabby.
And this Giant wide receiver core is going to have trouble getting open against these guys, and you wonder if Sherman might follow Odell Beckham Jr. around a little bit in this game.
I think he has to.
He hasn't done that a lot in the past, but he's done it more this year, and I would not be surprised if he did it against Beckham.
And, you know, this Seattle defense, as they get healthier, they can get back to what they were last year, which is the characteristic of a championship team. When you think about, you win on defense, a lot of people say that because you look at what they did on offense. It wasn't great.
Right.
They had an outstanding defense. And for the Giants, those receivers, what McAdoo said, it doesn't go along with just this game. It's every single game. This receiving core has to be more physical. Get off the line of scrimmage. And, I see Odell Beckham as being a physical guy. I really do. I know he's not a huge, huge guy, but, I haven't seen any physicality out of Reuben Randall at all. Preston Parker, no. So this is going to be imperative for these guys to get off the line of scrimmage and have this offensive line give Eli some time to throw the football.
And throw the football against one of the best cornerbacks in football, Richard Sherman, who likes what he's seen in recent games from his defense in Seattle.
Just being more disciplined. We're playing hard. I mean, it's not like we weren't playing hard before, but we get a couple of the breaks. Obviously, we're not getting all of them. We punch the ball, and it still bounces to them most of the time or out of bounds. But we're getting the turnovers, the tip that Bruce makes, and the heck of a play that he makes. Those are plays we weren't getting early in the season. Cliff Averill had a sack, forced fumble. We just weren't getting the breaks that we're getting right now. And guys just stayed at it, stayed disciplined, stayed with technique, and plays are coming to us.
And to speak to it, through eight games last year, Seattle had more than 20 sacks. Now they have only 11, though they are getting some decent pressure, just not getting home. And they've had five takeaways in the last two games, which is obviously very good. But in the six games prior to that, they only had five total. So their takeaways are down and their sacks are down this year, Jeff.
And what he was saying is that they're playing more disciplined. I mean, how many times did we hear that in a year talking football? We need to be more disciplined, right?
A ton.
But and things will start going your way. Well, he's right. I mean, if you stay the course and be disciplined, the plays will come your way, and it sounds to me like the Seahawks, those plays are starting to come their way. They're starting to get more turnovers in the last couple of games than they did before, and the flip side of that is if the Giants can stay more disciplined, maybe they can get some of those things to go their way on the road, because it's going to be loud and and wet and rainy, and everybody's against the Giants right now, but it's going to be a tough win, but watch the Giants go in there and do something crazy and upset this team. I mean, you never know, but, you look at the game last night. I had Cincinnati winning that game.
I thought Cincinnati won by three touchdowns. You got a rookie head coach taking his team on the road on a Thursday into Cincinnati, a division rival, and the Bengals threw up a zero.
One thing that we know from following football in the National Football League is you can win on any day. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm not a betting guy. I don't know what the line is on the game and all that kind of crap. But
9.5.
It's going to be it had to be a touchdown. All right, so take the Giants at 9.5, huh? I was thinking about this when you were reading the DraftKings. I mean, would you have a better chance of winning money on this or the lottery, you think?
Oh, no, I think DraftKings for sure. I mean, you can apply your football skill. You're competing against other people. I mean, the lotto's one in a million shot here.
I hear this thing all the time, and I know fantasy is so big. But do you actually win? Like, can you win, like, $100?
Oh, yeah, sure you can.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, there are a lot of different levels of prizes, no question. And by the way,
sounds like a lot of fun.
Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com. It says it right here. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the 100,000 football fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. Come on, you chance to win 10 grand, you'll play for free? Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. 201-939-4513.
All I know is that I play fantasy with my boys, and
they're whooping you?
No, I'm actually tied for first place.
Oh, look at you, the old man, taking it over.
A couple years ago, we used to do, on our broadcasting, remember we did the old fantasy football stuff?
Yeah. Oh. You got hammered in that one.
Oh, my goodness, was I bad. Really. And that kind of put a bad taste in my mouth.
So now,
my boy said, Dad, come on, you want to do it? I'm like, the last time I did, I was just horrible.
Do you guys draft punters in your Eagles failed fantasy football?
We should.
Best net average against you the league.
Inside the 20s, touchbacks. You know what I mean? Come on.
You get 2 points for every football inside the 10.
Why can't they have us in there? I mean, we can score points for somebody somehow. You have a 60-yard punt
begging now. You're begging.
I am begging because I want to see it in there.
201-939-4513. I haven't heard from Derek down in Atlanta, and I don't know how long. It's great to hear from you, Derek. How are you?
Hey, John, how's it going?
It's going great,
Jeff,
Derek. How are you?
One of my giant favorites. So
nice. Thank you.
Know, congratulations. So
appreciate it.
It's nice talking to you again, John, but I'll get right into it. I'd like to give some praise to Odell Beckham and Robert Ayers. I think they played really
hard last game.
And, you know, the other thing I like to say is it was kind of embarrassing to see John Gruden in the pregame shows kind of outline how to beat the Colts with the bunch sets, the stack receivers, and the motion, and how the Giants came out and two tight ends and basically stayed in a base formation. And didn't do any of the things
that John said.
Well, yeah, but Derek, yeah. I hear you, but I think to think that there's some type of magical formula that if you run this, you're going to automatically have success is probably wrong. Because do you know what the Colts did last week?
I don't think it's wrong, but I think that you come out and you're more aggressive, like, you know, the GM says on defense, and without them getting tired because the offense is not moving the ball. I think it was actually a really good game plan. You can see the difference in the game plan. You can see that the Pittsburgh Steelers just blitz off the bus, the Colts, and then you come in and you do the same thing. You see it was successful. But I can't see how come you don't follow that offense.
Well, I know that our – well.
I can guarantee you on defense.
I was going
like
to say,
said,
we cannot blitz.
Well, and the Giants did blitz in the first half. It worked for a little while, but then that came back and bit you in the rear end in the second half because the Colts figured out what you were doing.
Or
the tight end.
John, is just that the players get tired.
Well, that
I mean,
too.
You're not
no, that's true.
The ball. They're
that's fair.
The field all the time.
No, Derek, look, I hear you, but trust me. The Colts went to work that week, looked at what the Steelers did, and they self-scouted. They self-corrected. And I just think it's a little too simplistic to say the Giants would have ran a bunch of motion, a bunch of wide receiver sets, guys would have gotten open. Do you know why? The Steelers are running bunch wide receiver sets with Antonio Brown, with Marcus Wheaton, with Martavius Bryant. The Giants are doing it with Preston Parker and Reuben Randall.
I got one more
sure.
point to that and to that point is that if you see what you're coming out after your bye week and that you scouted yourself, scouted also for 2 weeks, and it's not working, is it just, are you saying to the team, are you saying to is it that we just don't have enough talent to do anything different than what we're doing? Because you come out of halftime and you come back to the same set, you run the ball on third down and long again. I mean, what is it that you're really saying to the team?
I think you're right. We don't have enough talent. I think the coaches look at their personnel, and you always hear, hey, know your personnel.
And that's something Ben McAdoo said when he got here. I'm going to create my offense and build it around the players that we have. I'm going to take advantage of their skill sets.
And he's not the only guy. All the coaches in the league have to do that because you can't put your players in position to make plays if they're not capable of making the play.
Right.
And at this point in time, you look at the defense and where they're at and the injuries and the offense and the way it's going. They are very limited in what they have to do. They try a little bit in the first half. It doesn't work. Or the guys get tired. They have to go back to their base stuff.
Yeah. Last point is that I see some of these teams like the Rams, Cleveland, some teams that had a lot of injuries, and they're still competing. And right now it just doesn't seem like the Giants are competing. And I don't know. Hopefully when Rashad Jennings get back, you know, we can peak a little bit more, but, you know, that's the only point that I want to make. I need to see the Giants compete in football games, whether you win it, whether you have the talent to win
or lose.
I think you just need to compete.
And Derek, I think that's the point. And thanks a lot for the call that Anchoro was making over the course of the week. And I think that's the point he made. And look, I'm not trying to use this as an excuse. I'm not. Because, frankly, even if the Giants were healthy, they might not have won any of the games the last 3 weeks either. They might have lost those 3 games.
But if they competed and lost the games, it's a different story.
But it does make it very difficult to win games that when you have the amount of injuries that the Giants do. And honestly, I haven't gone through it team by team, and I'm not going to because I don't have that type of time. But I can't imagine there's another team that has injuries to the same level that the Giants do, except for maybe the Falcons on the offensive line. They lost four or five guys. I mean, Philly lost two offensive linemen for a while, and
Lane Johnson, quarterback down.
But for the Giants and they've lost their two best skill position guys on offense with Jennings and Cruz. They've lost their starting middle linebacker. They've lost three out of their top four cornerbacks, and their fourth guy is playing on a bum leg.
Right.
So
who was their best guy?
That in this league, if just ask the Jets. In this league, if you have nobody that can make plays on offense and nobody that can cover the playmakers on defense, guess what? You're not going to win a lot of games.
And I think more importantly, on the defensive side, in the way that the league is set up today,
you need corners.
You got to have corners.
And if you don't,
you're
finished.
We're not going to talk about the Jets here, but the Jets are starting guys that just came off the street yesterday. It reminds me a couple years ago when the Giants had no linebackers. Remember, they brought Chase Blackburn back, and, I mean, they were bringing guys in here. They went on the road to play the Carolina Panthers, and it was like, who are these guys?
Right. And look, I said it in the locker room yesterday, and I thought about tweeting it, then I thought better of it. What summarizes the Giants' issues this year, three consecutive guys in the locker room had crowds around them. J'Ron Hosley, Chandler Fenner, and Bell, the new guy. When you have big crowds around those three guys
trouble,
and they're
going
to be big players in your game, guess what?
Wow.
And that's nothing against those guys. They work hard. They try hard. They're good guys. But that should have been a crowd around DRC. That should have been a crowd around Prince. That should have been a crowd around Walter Thurman. A crowd around Jermaine McBride. But no, you got guys you're taking off the street. That Chandler Fenner's been on and off the roster all year. Bell got taken off a practice squad. J'Ron Hosley was suspended until Thurman got
hurt. He wouldn't have even been here.
He would have got cut.
Yeah, absolutely.
So these are three guys that theoretically weren't even going to be on your roster at the start of the year.
I guess
they're playing big roles. It's a problem.
I guess we should be happy that there wasn't a crowd around Joe Skiba, the equipment manager. Then we're in real trouble if that happens.
I came really close to tweeting, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get retweeted by people, and I'm going to get in trouble here, so I'm not going to do it.
No, but
it's the truth. It's a problem.
You look at that, and that just goes to show you that things are just rolling around constantly. J'Ron Hosley, guy has a horrible training camp. He gets suspended, and the only reason—
admittedly, he said he had a horrible training camp.
He said, look, I
was distracted by the suspension. I mean,
yeah,
he was getting lit up by everybody.
And now, you know, he can't—
He was going to T.Y. Hilton last week. He's the best wide receiver in football, and the guy who had covered him, you didn't even want on your roster after
that. And T.Y. Hilton is no slouch now.
No, he might be the best wide receiver in football this year besides Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean—
Come on.
So you look at the receivers for the Seahawks, okay? I mean, these guys can compete with them, but they're still going to be at a disadvantage, in my opinion, because of who these guys are.
Well, here's the problem, too. Russell Wilson can buy a lot of times. Now, these guys are going to have to cover for an extra couple seconds.
Yeah. And then not only that, he can make plays with his feet. Right. But as you know, John, he'll get out of that pocket and start running.
And then
boom, there it goes.
Right over the linebacker that's coming to hit him, right to the Marshawn Lynch, right to the tight end, somebody that's going to run 20 yards because no one's there.
You'd feel better if you were going against a team that had more of a pocket passer against these guys. But this guy gets out of the pocket now and can make things happen not only with
Tell
his
what.
Feet, but it could be tough.
This defensive line better come to play this week.
If they don't,
this can get ugly really fast.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And to the linebackers, you know. Everybody. For that matter.
That's right.
Everybody.
You got to bring your A game if you want to win in Seattle. There's a reason only two teams have won in Seattle the last 2 years. So you got to bring your A game. Let's go to Stephanie in West Virginia on line three. Stephanie, you're up next. What's going on?
Hey, John. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie. It's good to hear from you.
I haven't been calling here. Wow. Change of work schedule since I moved out of Maryland. I'm in West Virginia. But I do tweet a lot. I go by the handle of Steffi Steph for NYG.
Very good.
And let you all know that I will say this. Giants fans, please don't call in on Big Blue Kickoff and argue with the host. I tweeted out, John, I called you John Vitino when you got into that argument with Steve from D.C. I do have my own NYG Giants Talk radio show on the Stephanie Little radio show, www.freaker.com. You can also call me on Shakes if you want to complain.
Hey, Stephanie, look, Stephanie, I have no problem with people calling up and disagreeing with us and arguing with us. But when you... It's the interrupting and it's the being a little rude that bothers me a little bit. But I love when people call in and disagree with us. That's what's part of the fun. It's all good.
I agree. It was funny to me. I laughed at it.
All right, good.
I was on the mobile app.
I'm happy
now,
somebody
I
did.
I want to piggyback for 1 second on last Monday night's game. I was following it on the app, and I saw how the guys was coming out the locker room. Like, they had no energy. They didn't, look like they wanted to play. And then I thought about Michael Strahan's ceremony and the reason why I'm a longtime Giants fan. Been a Giants fan since the 80s. I saw those men out there, Lawrence Hill, Strahan, and company, and all those guys. I'm not going to get on Kaufman. I'm not going to get on Eli. I know a lot of people got on him. But I will say this. I hold Tom Kaufman and Eli Manning to the same standards as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They had multiple issues, different offensive coordinators. They the longest tenured quarterback coaching coach next to Belichick and Brady. Belichick, Brady, consistently in playoffs, consistently in contention for a Super Bowl. Now, I will say this. I don't know. I can't predict what's going to happen in the Seahawks game. I have no clue. how San Diego and Dallas beat them? They ran the ball and they used three tight ends. The guys like Preston Parker and Ruben Randall, I just accepted it that they who they are. They got drop balls and all that. Well, I don't understand why we never switched to like a three tight end set. I see tight ends making plays. And what happened to Adrian Robinson? And I want to just add this in one last bit before I let you talk.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, depending on the record that the Giants will have, John, when the front office calling Kaufman and Eli and Jerry Reese, and I want to apologize. I think Jerry Reese isn't the problem. If they're going to sit down and say, because I noticed it with Don Shula when he lost his last playoff game. Are they going to sit down and tell Tom Coughlin or Eli Manning, do you really want to continue coaching this team, or tell Eli Manning, do you want to still be the quarterback of the New York Giants? Or
well, Stephanie, I can tell you. If finish up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To walk away. I'm just want to know.
Well, I guarantee if they bring those guys in and ask him those questions, the answer is going to be yes. Tom Coughlin, I'll tell you, he has, and I know people don't want to believe it, and they think he's old, he's 70, the game has passed him by. This dude has more energy than I do. He has more energy than Fiegels does.
He has passion.
He is a young man. He's a young man.
The guy can coach.
He runs 3 miles a day.
He works out twice a day.
His standing heart rate is like 65. The guy's in unbelievable shape.
And Eli still wants to play. I mean, look at the way Eli's playing with the team that's around him now. Eli's having a nice year.
And I think the thing about it is that the reason Belichick and Brady have been able to sustain that is that those guys, they've built a better roster around Tom Brady than the Giants have around Eli Manning.
No question.
And look what happened to Tom Brady last year. He had no wide receivers. Guess what? He had a down year. This year, the first six games, his offensive line was bad. He played poorly. It's all about getting the talent around your star to play better to get the most out of him.
And you know what? What is Bill Belichick do with the Patriots that the Giants don't do here? There's a turnstile up there.
It is a turnstile. They will get rid
of
guys at the second round picks. Gone.
Well, and not only
adios,
that,
peace.
How about the guy we just got from Baltimore?
Thank you for the call, Stephanie, by the way. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You give up six touchdown passes. See ya.
I know. He got caught. Next day. Adios.
So you talk about sending a message. That's what you've got to do somehow. The players have to send their own message to their teammates that, hey, we're doing what we got to do to win. You guys need to help, prepare, get some whatever. The organization, to me, needs to send messages sometimes that, hey, we're not putting up with this, guys. Don't just get comfortable in your own skin with what you're doing here because you're not doing it right. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, John. If these guys are worried about losing their jobs, they'd play better. A lot of guys aren't worried about losing their jobs because it's been this way. It's just the way it is.
Jeff, final call of the show. I want to get in before we say goodbye, before we get final thoughts. And that's Dave in Rochester.
Time?
I love having Dave close out the show. So I've saved you for last, Dave. What's going on?
Hey, Dave. Dave?
Oh, did we just lose Dave? Yeah, there's the dial tone. Let's lose Dave.
Damn, Dave.
Dave.
Waited that whole time.
All right, Dave. I'm gonna get final thoughts from Jeff. If you want to call back, I'll sneak in. If you get back up before
that'd
we say
be
goodbye, all right? All right, Jeff, final thoughts on this game. I'm not going to ask for a prediction, but how do you think it's going to go? What do the Giants need to do to come out with a victory?
Well, first of all, I think they're going to have to try to run the football. I keep saying this week after week, but the offensive line has to play better, period. And in order for them to do that, they can run the football and give time offensively for Eli Manning. Defensively, I believe that, again, like last week I said, this game has to be – you got to get some pressure up front and more physical. That defensive line has got to play better this week. Jenkins is probably not going to be back, right?
He was on the practice field today in full gear,
That could help. That could help a lot. But the fact is they have to play better in the trenches and be more physical. And defensively – get some turnovers, please. Start to get some ball, get some turnovers.
And I'm going
to
say this. The offense can't commit turnovers because this Seattle defense at home loves to do it.
Penalties.
Yeah, especially those offensive line pre-snap penalties.
Absolutely.
And you can't put yourself in third and long because that's when Eli's going to get picked off. That's when he's going to have problems. You got to run the ball, like you said, to keep out of those situations when you're going to turn the ball over. All those things, huge factors.
And like we said last week against the Colts, you know, when they're going up against good, good teams, the Giants, the way they are in today, where they are, they have to play a good, perfect, almost a near-perfect game to win these games. And that means not turning the ball over, not a lot of penalties, and good play on special teams, too.
All right, Dave in Rochester, wrap it up here for us, buddy.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to thank Ann from D.C., sister Stephanie, for calling. That was really great. But, hey, Johnny, you know, last week
I tweeted you and
asked you about possibly a Paul Dottino costume being out there for Halloween.
Oh, what's that?
And I actually found one. And I got to say that on the internet I found exclusive video of Paul Dottino costume trick-or-treating. And I want to say if the Giants win this game, which I think they will, 23-20. They will beat the Seahawks. I will exclusively put the video out on Giants.com next Monday.
God, I hope the Giants win.
Wow, I have never wanted the Giants to win a game more. I have never wanted. And you know what, Dave, bottom line here, even if the Giants don't win, I'm getting to see that video.
We've got to see
That's the bottom line.
I mean, you got to give us something.
Well, first of all, this is my first time ever talking to Mr. Fiegel. Thanks, man. You were great. I love you. Appreciate everything that you've done. But
I appreciate it, man.
You know, I got to say that we do have some video and that there is a costume of Paul Dottino.
Well, listen, you know what? You're going to, if the Giants don't win, you're going to have to get it to John because John works here full time during the week and he's around this mess.
Oh, boy.
He got to give him some sort of comfort and some laughter because I'm telling you, walking around this building these days is not fun, right? It is not fun.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Have a
Take
good
it
one.
Easy. See, Dave always Dave likes to break the comedy.
That's why you
That's
say
why
that.
That's why
I
saved Dave for last.
That's good stuff. And Jeff, am I not right? You need a little bit of cheerful. Yeah, it's because it's not fun around here.
Thanks a lot, my friend.
Hey, you're welcome, Johnny.
And you
good
can
job.
Hear Jeff on the Coors Light Giants
we will
game
be there.
Day pregame show on WFAN. It comes your way at 2:10 Eastern Time on WFAN. That's 6:60 a.m. or 101.9 FM New York. I'll be with him. Lance Bennett will be with him. And the crazy man himself, Paul Dottino, who will not be trick-or-treating, will be there as well as we get you ready for Giants and Seahawks. And, of course, you can get the game streamed on Giants.com as well. Don't forget, by the way, to update your Giants mobile app. It's brand new. Does a great job of streaming all the shows. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your weekend. Have a good one. We'll see you on Monday on Giants.com, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a hit.